On 91.3 Lagos Stocks. This morning we'll be looking at right skills, right jobs. Someone with me that I have been on his case for the past 2 to 3 weeks, and he's an international attorney admitted in Nigeria, New York. I will read this. So he has an extensive transactional experience over the years, having worked in Nigeria and international law firm, and as in-house legal counsel in commercial banking, investment banking, development banking, oil and gas industry in Nigeria. Now, quickly down, is also an entrepreneur, having founded and set up the following businesses: Precise Eye Associates, executive search, recruiting and outsourcing company. He also has africaskills.com, an online media job board web portal. And what else again has he done? He has also worked at a senior management level in Nigeria as vice president and chief legal advisor. So it's plenty. Like, I'm seeing a lot of names and over 2 decades of experience, or 3 in counting, let's say 3. I have with me Tunde's Simoyon. Simoyon. I was discussing this morning right skills, right job. Why we're doing that is because we're already in the new year, and this is 27th already, and people are looking for jobs. So when we're having discussion before we came on air, I'm like, okay, so this is what we need. So right skills, right job. To be part of the program, you can send us a WhatsApp message if you have questions or comment, because I don't know what's going on with that line and I don't want it to give me heartbreak. So this morning, welcome to come closer to the mic while I turn the attention on you. Welcome to Signals on 91.3 now, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, so right skills, right job is the conversation for this morning, and your career spans various sectors, from commercial banking to oil and gas. How have you been able to manage it all? You know, I was going to start first before we.
At times I look at that profile and I'm like, okay, wow.
It was 3 pages. So we were trying to scan.
I look at that profile, I'm like, is that me? I mean, I'm a business person, entrepreneur now. But to answer your question, it's been a very interesting journey. You know, just starting out, as a lawyer, working in-house, and then slowly, progressing with my career, working in-house to working in retail banking, commercial banking, investment banking, and in the oil and gas sector, and then in the development financial institutions. It's been a lot of work. I'm typically a very restless person where I like to embrace new challenges, explore new opportunities, expand my knowledge. And basically, as the Nigerian economy was developing, new opportunities were being presented. And, at each time, point in time, I would upskill myself to be able to participate in, whatever was going on in the Nigerian economy, in terms of working as a transaction lawyer. I mean, when I started out my career, there was no investment banking. Technology wasn't a thing. Startups were not a thing. I think at the time when I started, there were just electronic electronic typewriters. And then I think the next year we had, computers, and then maybe 5-6 people would share a computer. But, those are like medieval times compared to what we have now. And it's a lot of opportunity in the current Nigerian economy, even though we're going through economic challenges, but I believe we'll come to the end of that.
Now that we're here,
yes,
looking back, what has really changed
in terms of
the economic landscape of Nigeria and how opportunities have been untapped?
A lot. I think that we've missed out a lot of opportunities. We've scored a lot of own goals, but the way I still see it, there's still a lot of opportunity in the Nigerian economy. The bigger question is, how do we tap into those opportunities as Nigerians? And is the Nigerian financial system doing enough to enable Nigerians to tap into these opportunities. So we've seen what's been done with the creative industry in Nigeria. There's been a lot of funding support for that industry, and you know, we've seen what that has done. I mean, you know, the creative industry, entertainment industry, music industry in Nigeria has just blown up globally to where, you know, the Nigerian sound is all over the place. You could be in a cafe New York, you could be at anywhere in the world. I mean, Nigerian music is a thing. But, you know, when it comes down to what we're seeing, I think that a lot of effort has to be done in Nigeria to support small business, local entrepreneurs. We keep hearing foreign investment, foreign investment, foreign investment. Yes, foreign investment is good, but we, as Nigerians, we also need to ensure that we are encouraging our own ecosystem of local entrepreneurs, local startups, and we're getting funding for those startups here in Nigeria, in Naira, so that they're not dealing with the exchange rate issues, you know, that sort of thing, which, you know, as small business, as startups that are not necessarily scalable to where you'll have maybe a liquidity event in form of an IPO or strategic acquisition, you are looking more at, look, getting, you know, whatever funding, financing you need in Naira and repaying it in Naira.
Okay, so we're talking right skills, right job this morning. Are Africans, no, let's say, are Nigerians employable?
Are Nigerians
employable?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, look, my work has taken me across the African continent. And I've done a lot of travel across the African continent. And Nigerians are basically at the top of the food chain in terms of demand for, you know, top level roles. And, you know, just if you need things done, you find out that, you know, Nigerians typically are go-getters. We go for it and we want it. We seem to want it more than other Africans for whatever reason. I would say that our population, and just the competition, because this is what I tell other Africans, as I said, as growing up in a Nigerian family, you're 6'7", from day one, you're competing with everybody else in your family. There's just, it just, you know, it is what it is. You're competing. So you get into primary school, you're competing, secondary school, you're competing, university, you're competing. It's a natural part of our DNA. So you get inside the outside world, you are competing. It just doesn't
stop. But why do you think we're competing? Why do you think we're always competing?
I think it's the population. We're a lot. And there's not enough food to go around. So if you know, you know, you want to eat, you have to fight to eat. You get what I'm saying? But Nigerians are definitely, I mean, there's this, how do I put it? There's this whole discourse, I mean, in certain circles about the youth and all this, you know, negative information and everything. But now, Nigerians are very driven. They are very, how do I put it? Very entrepreneurial. A lot of the youth have a very global perspective.
Okay.
And you see, I'll put it this way. You see this in what has happened, you know, with COVID. COVID has been sort of like a blessing and a curse. With COVID, your location no longer really matters in terms of when you're looking for a job. And we've had, it's been sad in a way, because we've seen almost like the wipeout of the middle management in corporate Nigeria. So you look at the law firms, you look at the professional service firms, the big four, you look at banking, you look at, you know, investment banking, you know, their technology departments. I mean, there's been a whole wholesale export of Nigerian intellectual capital, that's what I like to call it, to other markets. And this has created a huge gap in Nigeria. And it's like, okay, what are we going to do with this sort of middle management gap? You know, so that's a big problem. I mean, you look at the law firms, a lot of them have not been able to higher at the senior associate level. And it's not just a Nigerian phenomenon. It's the same thing. Kenya, South Africa, these problems are not unique to Nigeria. Now, you look at the professional services firms, they have that issue in banking, investment banking, and technology. It's a struggle getting talent because we are living in a global market where there is a huge demand for talent wherever that talent is based. So I'll give you an example. Maybe 15 years ago, it would be difficult to get a job in an international law firm if you're Nigerian, even if you went to do your master's. Now I can't even count the number of Nigerians that work in the city, and that's London. Same thing within the States, New York. You know, the
Nigerians are spread across.
Yeah, same thing in investment banking, and then with technology. I mean, I'm not even going to get to those that are they're in Nigeria, but they're not in Nigeria. So yeah. They're here, but they're not here. They're doing remote jobs. They're doing remote jobs, tech jobs, and that's just another just another whole situation where you're like, okay, wow. So Nigerians are definitely employable. I mean, they're definitely hardworking. They definitely want it. Mm. They can create. There's a lot of local wealth that can still be created here. I know there's a lot of excitement, quote unquote, around when the tech startups in Nigeria get funding from international funders. But for me, we want to see a situation where a lot of those tech companies and tech startups are getting funding from Nigerian venture capital companies, from Nigerian private equity companies, from Nigerian family offices, so that we can keep some of that value here. That is very, very important. So
because you talked about this C-level middle management being wiped up. How then do we retain those local talents?
So the good thing about...
For the Nigerian companies.
For the Nigerian companies. So, yeah. The good thing about Nigeria is that we've got the numbers. We
don't know how to use it.
We're using it, but we're not using it. We're not optimizing the numbers. We're not optimizing the pool of youth population and the intellectual capital that they bring. We're definitely not optimizing it.
Why do you think so?
I just don't think that from a governance perspective, I don't think that there has been any deep thought by our technocrats to look at how do you unlock this youth potential? How do you unlock the productivity of the youth? How do you ensure that the youth are meaningfully engaged? I don't think, and it's for me, it's a ticking time bomb. The youth population in Nigeria, if not properly engaged, it's a ticking time bomb that, the government really needs to pay
more attention
to it. It is, I mean, there's certain initiatives, but I just think that, in terms of priority, in terms of when you're looking at what you want as development outcomes, what you want as development impact, I don't think the right amount of attention is being paid to, the issues around, youth productivity, youth unemployment, ensuring people are gainfully employed, ensuring people are productive, ensuring that people are not underemployed. And, I have a friend that uses this term, disguised unemployment. People basically being in,
limbo.
Yeah, just it's the job that basically the job doesn't lead anywhere. It's a job that's just you know, you're there's no career progression. You're not developing any skills. You're just basically
coasting time.
Yeah, So, but I hope I've answered.
I'm not going anywhere. I saw how you get to 11. Now, for you that have engaged the B2C level executives, what's their thought pattern like? They want to change jobs. If they are not jackpotting, they still want to change. They still want the good jobs.
Okay, yes. So for the more senior people in Nigeria, I don't think they're really the issue. A lot of them are not going to uproot themselves now and move to the West or move to...
Some are doing so.
Well, I mean, they probably have a liquid... They've probably had a liquidity event, made quite a bit of money here that they're going to invest somewhere over else. There. But if you've gotten to a certain stage in your career... Well, for some people, but it's... And you're doing well here. It doesn't really make sense to uproot yourself. And then you go to the West, and then you're basically
starting over again,
starting all over, trying to plug yourself into the system and all that. So with the C-level executives, there's, you know, there are more opportunities for them here, you know. With people leaving, there are more opportunities, there are more openings, there are more. It's a good time to be a senior
level executive
in Nigeria, because, you know, there's more to sort of take advantage of, there's more to pursue. If you're driven, if you just want to stay in your job and, you know, coast, that's fine. But there are a lot of opportunities. And even the mid-level professionals, because of the Japa wave, because of people that have left the country, a lot more people are getting opportunities. So, you know, those people that are getting the opportunities, it's up to them to take advantage, because you could basically get into a situation where in two, three years of work, you're doing what someone that's worked five, 6 years hasn't done. Because there's just no bodies to do the work. And they'll have to put you on all those big ticket, big deals, big transactions, whether you're working as an investment banker, a transaction lawyer, or, you know, you're working in big four consultancy. So there's an opportunity for young professionals to quickly wrap up their skill set and really, really do well, because the opportunities are there. If you stay in Nigeria, you know, the opportunities are there for you to really, really do well.
Okay, then. It signals on 91.3. We're live on YouTube, Young Cerebral, to ask questions. And if you have questions, comment, send us a WhatsApp message, 0809-234-5913. Watch us live on YouTube. Young Cerebral is YOUNGCEREBRAL. Now, we're discussing right skills, right jobs, and you said that Nigerians are employable. The question will be, are there jobs available?
Well, yeah, that unfortunately is the elephant in the room. There are jobs available for a certain type of, you know, Nigerian that's, you know, knowledge driven, that I would say is, you know, is a global professional. You just happen to be working out of Nigeria. We've not done enough to increase employment in this country, definitely. And we've not done enough to ensure that there are opportunities for the youth coming straight out of school. So that's been a failing at every level, because unlike during my own time coming out of school, every young person right now wants to leave the country.
Yes.
You know, we see people 1 year after graduation, 2 years after graduation, they want to go do a master's. I'm like, no, hold your horses. Get some more experience under your belt. I mean, before you're going to do an MBA or an LLM or an MSc, you should typically have worked 5 years, been a subject matter expert, start specializing in a particular area before going to do your master's degree. But it's like now, no, everybody, we just want to get out, want to get out, and, you know, we'll figure it out when we get out there. So, you know, it's a big problem. It's a big problem, but I think if we're able to unlock other aspects of the economy here in Nigeria, if we're able to get more funding for small businesses, because small businesses are, let's not get it twisted, small business employs the most people in the economy. It's not big business. So typically, historically, we've had this attention on big business
to take on
and, you know, making sure that big business is funded, big business has everything that it needs. But really, if you provide a proper ecosystem around startups, small business,
MSMEs,
enabling them to have easy access to finance, right? Yeah. That they're not telling you, oh, go bring your
all those grandmother's documents.
Trinkets. Go bring no. That you have
it's seamless.
And you're able to fund all these businesses. These businesses are the people that employ the most people. Hmm. It's not the big businesses. And as a small business grows to become a mid-sized enterprise, they'll need professionals. They'll need accountants. They'll need lawyers. They'll need,
procurement officers.
Yes, they'll need procurement officers. So you deal with employment in
an
this
ecosystem.
Way. Yeah. But if every small business fails within 3 to 5 years and you're not able to get any winners out of them, it just becomes a vicious cycle where, we're still dealing with this youth unemployment. Now, this youth unemployment thing, I'm going to stick with it a little bit because we've had this information since about 2001, 2002. We've known that the youth population in Nigeria is going to explode. We've had this information. The government has had it. And they've known this is going to be an issue. Right? But, knowing one thing and having the
knowledge to do it is a different thing.
It's a different thing. But for me, this is something that has to be tackled. Okay. It just has to be tackled. Yeah. And we need to also ensure that, apart from funding the sort of like ecosystem around small business and that sort of thing, we also need to make sure that we are able to retain a lot of the economic value in Nigeria for what is being produced in Nigeria. So that means that wherever you can employ Nigerians, you employ Nigerians. You don't, there are very few jobs right now, except extremely technical ones, that I would say that you cannot find a Nigerian somewhere in the world that has the expertise to execute that job. So I've seen situations where you have people that are HR managers that are expatriates. I'm like, give me a break.
Employ Nigerians.
Yes, for roles that are, not technical, you should employ Nigerians, That's the way I see it. You don't employ, expatriates for roles that are not technical roles that you can have, you can have Nigerians in these roles, You can have them consult, for whatever reason you might want them to consult, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, I'm a Pan-Africanist first, and, this is not just about Nigeria. This is also about the whole entire Africa. We need to think more about
our own people.
Yes, hiring Africans and ensuring Africans have opportunities on the continent.
Okay, now, speaking of Africans, you have africaskills.com. And you're trying to tackle unemployment in your own little way. Tell us a bit about that.
Okay, so, thanks for that question. I think maybe I should have even started by sort of telling people what I do. So, we have, there's the africaskills.com platform, which is a pan-African, it's a media and recruitment platform that we've developed basically to enhance the cross-border movement of professionals across Africa. So with the African Free Trade Agreement, right, apart from goods, there's also services. So, when the agreement comes into full effect, you should be, as an African here in Nigeria, be able to, work anywhere on the African continent where they've signed up to the
Africa Free Trade
under the Movement of Goods and Services Protocol. Because what we have now, especially, there are a lot of issues that are the legacy of colonial rule, but they're issues that we can tackle in our own way. So if you look at the entire African continent, the Francophone French-speaking part of Africa trades with the French-speaking part of French-speaking part of North Africa will trade with the French-speaking part of West Africa. Portuguese speaking part of Africa. They trade with the
their own Portuguese.
Yes, and you know the UK or the French, but and Portugal, which are sort of like the big countries that had the whole colonial experience in Nigeria. But if you look at Africa, we need to trade within ourselves. That is huge because, you know, there are things that, you know, certain African countries produce in excess that we can trade with each other. And my belief is that if we trade, if African countries trade more with each other, we will be able to reduce the poverty on the African continent. We will be able to get people more employed on the African continent. We will be able to deal with some of these issues around youth unemployment, the lack of productivity on the youth, and then the insecurity, instability that some of these things cause across Africa. So if you look at the informal level, for example, across West Africa, they're already informal trade. There's already, you know, a lot of informal trade going on from Nigeria to Togo,
to Benin Republic.
Benin Republic. I mean, and there's a lot of, you know, migration, you know, within, on the informal sector trade. Same thing, if you look at Kano, Kano has been a trade route up to the Sahara. So there's a lot of trade that goes out of Kano to other Francophone countries, to Niger, up the Sahara Desert. But what we're talking about is like formal trade.
Yeah.
And you look at Nigeria, we have a lot of educated people that are looking for opportunities. We can definitely, you know, spare accountants to other African countries, lawyers, other professionals, even medical doctors, you know, we can definitely
export them
to
other African countries.
Yes, and then in areas where we need certain expertise, and I think it's already happening in the construction industry, a lot of the masons are from Cotonou, they're from other West African countries. But, you know, the point I'm trying to make is that Africa's got to trade with itself. Now, when it comes to the Africa Skills Platform, that platform aggregates information across the development finance industry in Africa, the development agency in Africa, and anybody sort of involved in development. So if you're a top professional and you're looking for opportunities across the African continent, where do you go? There's really no platform that deals with that. So if you go on the African platform, if you're interested in working in Ghana, if you're interested in working in Ivory Coast, and you have the skill set to, you know, get something there, you can go on the platform and look for roles in these different African countries. You know, we got to come together as an African continent to basically deal with some of the issues that we have. So the Africa Skills Platform, we're an aggregator. We aggregate these jobs. We also do recruitment. We recruit certain industries across the African continent. We're also, you know, a procurement section where we're going to publish procurement across Africa of the DFIs, development agencies, and institutions, and make this information public, more available. Because again, when you look at a lot of the procurement in Africa, again, it's sort of opaque, it's vague. A lot of African institutions don't really have opportunity to respond to these RFPs, RFQs, these terms of reference. And, you know, at the end of the day, what we want to do is, you know, disclosure, provide full disclosure to Africans and let Africans take advantage of the opportunities on the African continent. You get what I'm saying?
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Well, it's Signals on 91.3. If you have questions, comments, you can call us 0809-191-3913 if you have a question for our guest. And send us a WhatsApp message on 0809-234-5913. Now, with Africa Skills, right? I think it's africaskills.com.
Yes.
Right? That the various jobs in different continents. What has been the feedback like for people who've gotten job on the platform?
Well, what we've done is right now there's
because there are loads of jobs.
Yeah, so it's an aggregator. So we just aggregate. It's for you to get the information, and then, you know, what people do with the information
It's
left to them. So you go, you get the information, you know who has an opening. If that opening is, what you want to apply for, there's a link. It takes you back to the site of, the company that has the opening. And then you can apply directly to the company and, they take it from there. But we have also a recruitment section where companies that want to engage us to recruit specifically for roles across Africa, we do that. So we have two businesses. We have Precise Hire Associates, which is executive search and recruitment. We do legal recruitment across Africa, and then recruitment in the real estate development and construction, energy and infrastructure, and real estate development and construction industry across
mid-level.
From mid-level to senior roles across Africa. But a lot of the business that's Africa related is now sits in Africa Skills.
Okay.
So Africa Skills is doing Pan-African recruitment, and then we have Precise Hire Associates dealing with recruitment in Nigeria specifically for high level roles, mid level roles, again across legal, energy and infrastructure, project finance, real estate development and construction, pension funds, investment banking.
Now, someone is listening and saying that, okay, let's just assume that a senior level role, senior person is listening. I'm like, okay, my age, does age has something to do with getting a job? Yes.
I'll take the Fifth Amendment.
Oh, please don't. Please don't. You know what I'm asking?
Yes.
What I'm asking is because sometimes your folks, we're a cultural nation where people are like, now go and look for something to do.
Yes.
Right? And you're looking at yourself and I'm like, okay, who's going to employ me? Because it seems it's favoring other the younger generation as against the senior ones.
So, unfortunately, there's age discrimination.
And there's nothing we can do about it.
All over the world.
It's
just that in other places, they have, they're pretty nuanced about how, but age discrimination does exist. And then for a lot of, depending on the industry and the business. So if it's tech, you want young people because older people just, they don't get it. You get what I'm saying? And they can't get it. It has nothing to do. It's just a generational thing. Unless they're extremely intellectually inquisitive. But, generally you want younger people that have grown up on technology that sort of
understand it
and they're able to process information in a certain way that, if you're older, you might not be able to understand what's going on. So I'll give you a simple example. All these skits, stuff on YouTube.
Entertainment skits.
The skits, the comedy. Content. It is a lot of money. It is a lot of money that's, that's been monetized based on the views and based, how many people view. Yeah, but, for a certain demographic, that doesn't exist as something that they would think of as a business because, it's like, am I going to get a camera
and be dancing
in front of myself and making fun of, but age discrimination does exist, but again, because of the number of people that have left the country, I mean, if you're older and, you still want to be engaged, there's still opportunities because there's just so many openings across Nigeria and a lot of corporate institutions that have not been filled.
Okay, so we're still discussing right skills, right job. What kind of right skills should people begin to have for the kind of roles that they want?
People need to, so self-development, professional development, it's a constant. It's a constant in your career. So I'll even break it down to something very, very simple. The existing skills that you have, are you able to communicate that properly on a resume? Are you able to communicate that properly on a profile? When you're interviewing, are you communicating the skill set you have? Or do you have one generic resume or profile for every role that you apply for?
So how do we tailor it?
So in the recruitment that we do a lot of, unfortunately, we find ourselves doing a lot of career counseling. We find ourselves doing a lot of coaching. So I'll talk about the legal recruitment because that's also a huge part of what we do. But for legal roles, first thing is, do you have a deal list? Apart from your resume, you should have a deal list. The deal list should specify the deals you've done. Now, we don't want every deal that you've done on your deal list. But
so deal can be every contract that you have done?
Every transaction, every big transaction that you've done. So you want to put the high-level deals. So I worked on a $1 billion narrow road construction. I worked on a $3 billion financing. So you have the deal list, the subject area. So if it's a corporate M&A deal, if it's a private equity deal, if it's a project finance infrastructure deal, you have the different elements, the different headings, and then you itemize the deal size like that. So that's for a transaction lawyer. For a litigation lawyer, okay, the litigation that you've worked on, let's say you're an arbitration and disputes lawyer, itemize the, you know, top level, you know, and you have one sheet that deals with that, sort of shows what you've done. If you are a project manager, a development manager, what are the big ticket items that you've worked on, you've been responsible for, and you know, that sort of thing. So every role, you have to tell a story around the role. There are not any two roles that are the same. So for the industry that you're applying for, you have to tailor the resume to that specific industry, you know, because typically, you know, your resume would get looked at for maybe 90 seconds to 2 minutes at most before the hiring manager makes a decision whether they want to proceed, yeah or nay. In terms of let me not digress too much, but in terms of, you know, what skills people need to do, they need to update themselves with the trends that are going on right now. I mean, there's a lot of things that are around, you know, what the future of work is going to
look like,
you know, how that is going to affect employment. You know, are we going to have, you know, basically machines take over everything, you know? But again, we need to look at, you know, areas like what's going on around artificial intelligence, the impact ChatGP is going to have. I've been on it, to be honest. It's a bit scary. It's a bit scary. And the role of technology in employment, is it going to get to a situation where basically technology is going to take over a lot of jobs, you know? But in terms of, you know, what people that are going into the labor force should be looking at, you need to start looking. I mean, the liberal arts, I'm sorry if you can help it, you know, liberal arts education is sort of dated right now. You can basically, you know, educate yourself on liberal arts. There's just so much information out there. You don't need to get a degree that says, I've done this and, you know. But more around technology, artificial intelligence, data, big data analysis, that's going to be huge. Developing skill sets, taking short courses in these areas where you start to get a nuanced understanding of, you know, where things are going in terms of the future of work and the skill set that's going to be in demand by employers. Because already employers are even saying, we're not interested in that 2-1-2. We're not really. You know what?
What can you
do?
We will
speak to you. We will, you know, if you don't have a degree, we'll even speak to you. What can you do?
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, so because my time is up, what I'm looking at now is from everything you've said is, number one, Africa should employ Africans, Nigerians should employ Nigerians, right? Even though there is age discrimination, we can still update ourselves, right?
Yeah.
Now, so the future of work basically is, before the machine will come and take our jobs first, we still have jobs.
Yes.
That's what we're saying.
Yes, there's still jobs, but you just need to make sure that
we keep updating.
Yes, you have the right skill.
Okay.
To be successful in the jobs that are open and you can basically execute at the level that you're required to execute. The skill set you required 10 years ago
is quite different.
Not the same that you require today.
Okay.
The skill set you required 5 years ago, you know, is not the same that's required today. So you just
keep
need
updating.
To constantly make sure that you're on top of what's going on and you're able to, you know, you're comfortable with the aspects of your job that have been influenced by technology. Yeah, you have to be comfortable with technology. I'm sorry. There's just, you know, yeah, there's no way around it. There's really no way around it.
Okay, so future of work in one word.
Future of work. Oh, wow. Future of work in one word. The knowledge tech worker.
The knowledge tech worker. Okay. Now,
knowledge tech worker.
Mm-hmm. So Africa Skills is africaskills.com, right?
africaskills.com. Yes, please.
Okay, then. Thank you so much.
Thank you. thanks for having me.
Okay, then. Well, before Lalua comes to send me packing, wait, calm down first. But before... calm down. Thank you so much for everyone who's joined in. Thank you, Tunde Simoyan. Yeah,
thank
I got
you.
It. Yeah. I got it. So we come away again next week, Saturday, like we always see on Signals, create opportunities for people. And please, let's do something with ourselves. Lalua, thou shalt know this stuff. Pause. So we come away again next week, Saturday. Dream again, create opportunities for people. And because people will be people, keep creating opportunities. Have a wonderful week and God bless.
Every day I get